As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And thank you for tuning in to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. This is the show where you'll find the most interesting people in the Ville. And this week is certainly no exception. We have a stellar pair of guests. I'm really proud to say that the first guest in the show is Dr. Gary Ransdell, who is the president of Western Kentucky University, my alma mater, and had a real great opportunity to spend a few minutes learning about what's going on that's good at Western. And secondly, I have Dean Corbett, who is probably the best known chef in the city of Louisville. He is an entrepreneur, businessman. And he's one of those people that, you know, what this show is all about is really about introducing you to people that are making news, that are doing things in this town, and giving you a sort of an up-close and personal look at what makes them tick and what makes their life. So I got a chance to go see Dean Corbett over at his restaurant, Equus, in St. Matthews, and we just had a nice talk. He's a really interesting and fun guy and a very successful businessman. I hope you'll enjoy that interview. I've got a lot to talk about on this show today. I have some of it's of a personal nature. I have a blog that I've written for my LouisvilleKY.com site about my regretted retirement from racquetball, and that may or may not be of interest to you, but it's an interesting story about my life in racquetball and a passion that I had. But we also want to talk about the upcoming football season, and you know, you're going to want to know the latest. I feel like it's a personal responsibility of mine because Dan Johnson is the councilman in my home district, in District 21. And, you know, he's going to be an entertaining figure for weeks to come in the city of Louisville and on this show. So we'll have an update on what's going on with Dan and more. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Dr. Gary Ransdell. He is the president of Western. He's got a great story. He was a student at Western just before me. He was a fraternity man just like me. I was a Pike. He was an SAE, or the nerds, as we like to call them. But he, Gary preceded me about 10 years or so on the Hill. And, you know, the house he lived in was right down the street from the house I lived in. But he went on and, you know, he made I guess I would say a success of his life. And in 1997, he was invited back to be the president of Western Kentucky University. And, you know, we hear a lot about what's going on at U of L, and the University of Louisville is making great advances and really built itself up as a first-class university, but what they're doing in Bowling Green is really amazing. And Dr. Ransdell is behind most of it. And I really enjoyed getting to talk to him. He was here for a couple of events. He was talking to the Oldham County Chamber of Commerce, and I went to see his talk there. And later I caught up with him at Trinity High School, where he was talking to the senior class over there. I can't imagine a better ambassador for the university. And I really enjoyed asking him about Bobby Petrino and the football situation at Western, which is in great hands with Jeff Brohm. And I think you'll hear the enthusiasm with Dr. Ransdell in this interview. So here's my interview with Dr. Gary Ransdell. Today, I'm honored to be with Dr. Gary Ransdell, the president of Western Kentucky University. Dr. Ransdell, welcome to Louisville. First,
great. Thank you. It's great to be back in my hometown. And I grew up in Louisville.
I did not know that. Yeah. I remember I heard you spoke to the Oldham County Chamber this morning, and I was very interested to hear that you're the only president of a Kentucky university who is serving as his alma mater, right?
Yes, which is very special because there's a lot of passion at work, a lot of energy, and a lot of trust that we have a bold vision and we're pursuing it aggressively, and it's a magic place these days.
Well, I hear there's a lot of changes, but I was also interested. You said you went to school there as an undergraduate. Yes. A few years before I did, but we're fraternity man, right?
I was.
So was I. I was right up the street with the Pikes.
Okay.
So you were an SAE, I understand.
Yes. I graduated from Durrett in 1969 here in Louisville before it was male, and then went to WKU in 69 and met my wife, Julie, who graduated from Westport High School here in Louisville.
Wow.
And we started dating our junior year, got married our senior year, so it's been a 40-year love affair with both Julie and me and WKU, and so that's part of the reason the passions run so deep. And you know, we're making great progress. We've rebuilt the campus, entirely focused on our vision to be a leading American university with international reach, and so the academic measures are strong, and it's a great place to be. I'm fortunate to be at my alma mater.
Yeah, it's very exciting what's going on down there. Having graduated in '82, and I know that you know there's a lot of changes that have gone on there. You said in the speech you even have a dog named Diddle. Right?
We have a yellow lab named Spirit and a little English cocker spaniel named Diddle. So yeah, we're all in.
So I think you are. I guess I should ask, how is Big Red doing?
Big Red is doing great. Big Red is back in the Capital One mascot competition again this year. I think it's the 10th time that he's been in that. He's one of only four college mascots in the National Mascot Hall of Fame. I keep saying he. We don't know whether Big Red is a he or she.
Nobody's ever checked.
That's right. But Big Red, you know, that's the thing about WKU. Nothing contrived. Our traditions are uniquely us. The red towel, the Big Red, the hill itself, our architecture, our personality as a university is high energy. Pretty focused on an aggressive pursuit of achievement across the board, and that's kind of what defines us. And Big Red's kind of our personality. Everybody wants to know what do you want Big Red to be? He's the WKU spirit.
Yeah, he really. He or she.
Yeah, we'll use that in a generic term.
I really picked up on, going back to academics and the things that are going on at Western, I picked up, you called Western
the intellectual heartbeat of Kentucky.
Now, yes. Now, tell me about that and where you came up
with
that.
Well, there are some uniquenesses. We're the only university that has a Center for Gifted Studies, so we've been focusing on gifted and talented education for a long time. We created the Gatton Academy, which the Commonwealth of Kentucky has funded, the number one high school in America. And it's where Kentucky's gifted and talented high school juniors and seniors go in a residential academy right in the middle of our campus. So when they graduate from the Gatton Academy, they got 60 hours of WKU college credit.
Wow.
Combines the freshman, sophomore year in college with the junior, senior year in high school. Now 200 students in the Gatton Academy. And then the third thing that's uniquely WKU is an independent honors college where students can actually earn a degree from the honors college while they're earning a degree in their chosen discipline.
Right.
So those are three things that are all academic at the highest possible level. And uniquely WKU. And it's an economic development strategy for Kentucky to keep our highly gifted and talented students here in Kentucky to go to work for companies all across the Commonwealth.
And sure, I think that leads us into, surprisingly to some, the New York Times took notice of what's going on in Western.
Yes,
yes. Tell me what that article was about.
Well, the New York Times contacted us a couple of weeks ago, came and did an interview. We've been the driving force behind a rather exciting economic development dynamic in Bowling Green, Kentucky, with $250 million in construction in the Tax Incremental Financing District, the TIF District in Bowling Green. We've completed $750 million of construction on our campus at WKU, but now we're combining these public-private partnerships using state TIF incentives, and the university's been the driving impetus behind that. So the New York Times came and did a feature profile on university driving the improved economy of its region. And that was a pretty cool story, so I was very honored that
yeah,
that
it really
came
was.
To
I'll,
us for
I'll,
that.
I'll certainly put a link up on the site about that. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure I wouldn't recognize, you know, the changes, you know, even I've come back for homecoming every once in a while, but the changes on campus are
well, we're
are
very
amazing.
Entrepreneur. We have invested a lot, and only about $200 million of that has come from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The rest of it's come from our own entrepreneurialism, our own bonding capacity, partnerships with the private sector, with the city and county. And so we are finding ways to get things done, and we're not going to wring our hands about what the state can't do for us or chooses not to do for higher education. We're going to find ways to get it done ourselves.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you about one particular academic pursuit in particular, because here in Louisville, it seems like everybody I know in the media business is got a degree from Western.
School
at least
journalism.
A lot of them.
School
but
of Journalism
a lot of
Broadcasting.
Changes.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the changes at the Journalism School.
Our School of Journalism and Broadcasting, depending on which poll this year, we're either number two, tied with the University of Missouri, ranking in schools of journalism and broadcasting by the William Randolph Hearst Foundation. But Collegiate Magazine, which is everybody in higher ed knows about that, but it ranked recently schools of journalism and broadcasting in America, and we were ranked number four. So any way you cut it, we're one of the top schools of journalism and broadcasting in America. So yeah, print, photo, broadcast, it doesn't matter what your medium is. If you want to be successful and you want to get the job of your choice and get a Pulitzer Prize, then you're going to need to get a degree from WKU, because 26 of our alumni have won Pulitzer Prizes. So there you go.
And I guess the amazing thing in terms of the world of journalism and media is how it's completely different. When I was a student, you were a student, there was no online.
Convergent media, multimedia dimensions and platforms, and it's a completely different dynamic, you're right, than when we were both in school.
So Western's adapted successfully.
Oh, absolutely. Our curriculum continues to change and evolve and actually shape that curve of communication and media. Not just in higher education, but in our society.
Okay. Well,
you probably want to talk football about Jeff
other,
Brom a little bit, don't you?
One other topic
good
that
Louisvillians
are
good,
uniquely
good
interested
guy,
in is the football program, certainly. Tell me, I love the way you put it this morning about what a thing it was for Western to have Bobby Petrino for a year, right? Tell me about that.
Well, when Willie Taggart went to, he was from Tampa, Willie Taggart was, so he went to University of South Florida, where's where he's from, and we knew that would probably be something that might come along at some point. We immediately reached out to Coach Petrino. I know all about the personal issues and all that, but I was convinced enough meeting with he and Becky, his wife, to know what he was about as a football coach. And once we were convinced that he was serious about what he wanted to do, we were pleased to hire him. He did a great job with us. We went 8-4 last year.
Beat Kentucky.
And beat
a game
Kentucky.
We've
beaten Kentucky
really
2 years in a row, and that's an important evidence of the emerging program we have at WKU. But we also knew the realities. We were paying him $850,000. Now, fortunately, he had a $1.2 million buyout, so he paid us $350,000 to be our coach last year. But we knew that Jeff Brom was the associate head coach or offensive coordinator for a reason. Jeff and Bobby worked together for a long time and was well prepared and well trained to be our head coach when Bobby left. That's exactly what we did. We got a Louisville guy. We got a guy who loves Kentucky. We've already signed about a dozen guys in Jeff Brom's first class. Every one of them are from Kentucky. We're going to own Kentucky recruiting, and I love the way Coach Brown is approaching his work. Our first game is with Bowling Green State a week from Friday night on August 29. Then we go up to Illinois, and the schedule takes off from there. But Coach Brown is going to be a great Division I head coach, and we're glad that he's in an FBS program, and we're glad he's at WKU. And we're standing here in the foyer of Trinity High School, Jeff's alma mater, and one of the great high schools in America, not just in Kentucky. And great students that we're fortunate to have. We have over 100 Trinity students at WKU.
Right.
So they've invited me to come and speak to their senior class today, which is very cool.
Well, it is very cool. And tell me briefly about the school is moving in a new conference, Conference USA.
Conference USA.
And that's exciting for a lot of reasons, too.
July 1 was our start date, and so all 19 of our intercollegiate sports are now in Conference USA. And, you know, we've only been in two conferences for the last 65 years, 4 years in the Ohio Valley Conference and 32 years in the Sun Belt Conference, and we've dominated both conferences. We have more conference championships in both conferences than most of the other members combined, and certainly twice as many as any other single member both times. We intend to be just as successful in Conference USA. CBS and Fox television contracts, 6 bowl contracts, better revenue, better national profile. That's why we made the move.
Okay, so we're going to a bowl game this year.
You betcha.
All right.
Count on it. Count on it. We intend to be in a bowl game every year.
Well, that sounds great. I'll tell you what, I went to the lone Western National Championship when they played in Chattanooga.
Yeah, and I beat McNeese State.
I was there.
For the 1AA championship in 2002. It's been a long time ago, but we knew then that we needed to move this program to the next level and play at the highest level, and that's exactly what we've been doing.
Okay. So you've been there since, you say, 1997.
I'm in my 17th year and just getting started, still on my honeymoon.
I tell you, it seems like the amount of change down there since you've been there, it's certainly amazing. From here, I guess the academic year has started, the football season started.
Oh, yeah, classes start Monday, and we're underway, and it's there's great energy and great passion at work, and that's why we have 3,500, we don't call them freshmen, they're class of 2018, we just welcomed to campus this week, and, you know, nearly 21,000 students, and it's one of the dynamic universities in America, and I'm very proud of what we're achieving together.
Well, I do need your help. I have a son who would be in the class of 2020.
Got it.
I need
his
you
name?
To recruit him, Luke Redding.
Well, Luke Redding, we are all over it. We want you, buddy.
All right. Thanks again. That's all the time we got, Dr. Gary Ransdell. Thanks for spending a few minutes.
You bet.
With me.
Thank you very much.
Right.
My pleasure.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, and a big thank you to Dr. Gary Ransdell for carving out a little bit of time in his schedule when he was in Louisville. I tell you that I'm so proud of Western, and I really wish I could get old Luke, my 16-year-old son, to really think about going to Western for his college career. I got Dr. Ransdell to help me out on that, so we'll see how that turns out. He really excited about what's going on at Western. I hope I can get down to a football game down there this year and see how that goes. It's a really great facility, great campus. It was always a great campus, but now it's even better. This is the section of the show where we get into some of the news items and things that interest me in the city that are going on, and there's a lot to talk about right now. But first, I want to tell you about one of my sponsors, Bob Sekoler, and the Sekoler Medley team at Remax Properties East. I'll tell you, Bob, as you know, if you've listened to the show, helped me out on a couple of real estate transactions, and One thing that separates Bob from the rest of the pack, I guess, in terms of local real estate is he has the most aggressive marketing system and is on a whole different level than the average agent in Louisville. He uses HDR photos, HD videos, aerial photos, and it's no charge to you as the seller. Since he spends thousands on marketing each month to get your home sold fast and the most money possible for you as a seller. I certainly have, if you listen to the show, you know how big a fan I am of Bob Sekoler and the Sekoler Medley team. Call him at 376-5483. Tell him the Rusty Satellite Show sent you, and you know, maybe he'll there's no maybe to it. Bob will answer the phone and help you out with whatever your real estate issue is. So anyway, I want to get on to the rest of the show, and there's some really exciting stuff. I tell you, I wrote this piece on LouisvilleKY.com, and this is sort of a personal, I'm going a little personal here, I guess, rather than the usual stuff that I do here at the show. But I wrote a piece on Louisville KY, and I didn't know how it would be accepted. I asked my girlfriend Paula to read it and see what she thought, and she said, you know, she said, oh, it's really kind of sad, you know, that this happened. So here's the story. I am 54 years old. It is my birthday. If you're listening to this on Thursday, August 28th, you're listening on my birthday. Please, you know, give me a call, send me a card, bring a gift over, whatever you want to do. But it is my 54th birthday, and it is also marks the age at which I made a decision to give up a real love in my life, and that's the game of racquetball. We were talking to Dr. Ransdell about WKU, and I learned how to play racquetball at a one-hour PE class at Western with concrete walls, and just knew very little about – I didn't even know racquetball existed before I got there. But thus began a 35-year love affair with the game, and I'm telling you, if you read the piece, it talks – I write about how racquetball has been such an important part of my life, and that among the constants, that the only constant – I guess, in my life of all this time. Because I've had a lot of different jobs. I've lived in a lot of different places. I've had different, shall we say, women that I've had relationships with and lived with. But the one constant through all that time is my love of the game of racquetball. I played for most of those years three times a week here in Louisville. Made myself, you know, got to where I could compete in tournaments on a very high level, and it's always been a real passion for me. But recently I had a knee operation about a year and a half ago, and then I had a physical a couple months ago, and really been advised by a lot of people that my ankles and my knees can no longer maintain what it takes to be competitive in racquetball. So I've given up the sport, just made a decision, quit cold turkey. I put my racket in the basement, said goodbye to my racquetball buddies, and you know, it's sort of a sad thing. You know, here's the thing. My kids, who are 24, 22, and 16, know me as a guy who plays racquetball. I have had, this is I guess, amazing to me. Every Father's Day, Christmas Day, and birthday that I've had since I've been a father, I've gotten racquetballs as a gift. I didn't miss one. And poor Luke, I think before I made this announcement, I think he'd already bought a can of racquetballs for me for my birthday, which is August 28th. So, you know, it's sort of a melancholy thing, but, you know, I'm moving on to different things. I'm playing a lot more golf and riding my bike more and doing a lot of things to stay active. And, you know, I'm really not sad so much as just ready to move on. It's a different stage of my life, and I'm going to miss being a competitive athlete, but, you know, that's part of it. So anyway, so that's my story on that. Going back to things that are in the news, I think I have to just keep you updated on the Dan Johnson story. Dan is the Metro Councilman from the South End. He his district is in the district that I grew up in. And Dan is basically, he has really become an embarrassment to the city and to the council. Now, I'm not going to recount all the things that have led up to this in terms of Dan's issues. He's got financial issues in a serious nature, and he's an elected official. And what's worse, an unchallenged elected official. There is he is up for re-election this year and is likely to win despite all this negative publicity. This week, it was revealed that he had another debt to the Ratterman Funeral Home family. that had been unreported and no one knew about. And the great, there's some great reporting going on in Insider Louisville. Joe Sankey's, he's reporting on what's going on with Dan. It's frankly an embarrassment. But Dan was never, you know, I've said before, Dan was never the smartest bulb on the council. You know, I thought Doug Hawkins, when he was on the council, was he was a Republican from the South End, and he did some pretty dumb things. But Dan takes the cake. Even before all this controversy now, I always was skeptical of what Dan was up to. And I'll tell you one other thing. You know, if you know, if you're from the South End, across from Iroquois Park is the Colonial Gardens facility. And the preservationists have worked hard to keep that structure intact. It's a place where Elvis Presley, the legend has it that Elvis Presley played there. And it's an old building. It's in bad shape. But there's a plan to revitalize it. And according to the plan, let's just cut to the chase. Dan Johnson, the plan requires all the current tenants to leave. And there's a Little Caesars near that property that has a lease until 2016. And so Dan has taken it on himself. Little Caesars stands in the way of going ahead and getting started on the reconstruction or revitalization of this project. And Dan has taken it on himself to ignore the fact that Little Caesars has a lease on the property. And they're allowed to stay there through the end of the lease. And it's probably a very profitable location for Little Caesars. I don't know that. I just suspect that it is. But Dan has taken it on as a campaign to try to pressure Little Caesars to leave the lease early. Now, who ever heard of a Metro councilman pressuring a business to close up shop and leave early? I think that the criticism Dan has taken over this issue is certainly justified. And given his other issues about his personal finances, I think the guy's just in trouble. I think the Metro Council is going to have to really think about censuring Dan. They've already taken up, we've had some issues with Metro Council members and ethics in the last couple of years. Judy Green famously was basically kicked off the council. Barbara Shanklin was accused of some wrongdoing. She managed to survive and remain a member of the council. But Dan's problems, I think his issues are worse than those. And the Metro Council is going to have to do something to reprimand or censure him. And it's going to be something that plays out in the next few weeks. I'll keep you up on that in case you're not reading the news or doing anything like that. Maybe the Rusty Satellite Show is your only source of news. And if so, I promise you, I'll at least keep you up to date on what's going on with our man, Dan Johnson. A couple other media stories in the news. Not that big a deal, but I like to report on what former Rusty Satellite guests are doing. John Boal last week did not finish the Ironman. It was only the second time in 9 tries he didn't. The weather was horrific, just hot as it could be, and very difficult. As you remember, Dr. Steve Heilman, who was a guest on the show, talked about the worst-case scenario, and I think we got it with the heat. Now you know the Ironman will move to October next year, and organizers are hoping that the weather will be more cooperative. Another media guy in the news, Bill Lamb, came out with an editorial addressing the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. He basically told Attica Scott, I think she's the Metro Council First District, or she's one of those West End districts. And the Lamb basically told her to shut up. Some protesters showed up at WDRB, and I have a position. This whole thing in Ferguson with the racism and all that it's a big issue. I'm not sure why it's being localized to Louisville, but Attica Scott is one reason. And let's just talk about it the way it is. Racism is an issue in this country, and incidents like those that happened in Ferguson, where an unarmed black man was shot, are likely to continue. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that who's wrong? I don't know. There was a white police officer who shot an unarmed black man. That's the bottom line on what the story happened over there. But Bill Lamb had a editorial on this subject. It didn't sit well with some members of the community, and they went down and had a protest down there. I will say the another piece of news that I think is fairly interesting, and I followed many times over the years, is with JCPS, Jefferson County Public School System. Dr. Donna Hargens, you know, because it's so big and it uses so much of the budget, it is always going to be controversial. But for the first time in I think 7 years, the JCPS superintendent and board did not recommend a rise in your property taxes to pay for the school system. They had the right to raise the taxes, and they chose not to do it. And this is great. I remember I went to a school board meeting a couple of years ago where they were raising the taxes, and these citizens just lined up and lambasted members of the school board, and people just don't like having their taxes raised. And so good for the JCPS. I think Donna Hargens is doing a good job. She's getting the financial house in order. I'm certainly invested in this. I have a child in the system, my third child in the system. I'm a very satisfied customer of JCPS, and the fact that they didn't raise taxes for once, I can't remember the last time they didn't raise taxes when they had the opportunity. So good for them. All right, well, I'm going to move on and get into my next guest, and it's Dean Corbett, the chef. He owns, as you'll hear, Equus and Jack's Lounge in St. Matthews. He owns a very wonderful fine dining establishment out near Norton Commons called Corbett's, and he's got a new project that you'll want to hear about in the old brewery. I mean, I don't know how many of you have been to the brewery in many of its previous incarnations. It's been a sports bar. It's been a joint. It's been a place you go and have hamburgers and bar food, etc. It's right down there near downtown. You know, the volleyball connection is there and all that. It's in that corner area. And what Dean Corbett is doing down there is really going to be remarkable. It's going to be a great place to go. You'll hear all about it in our interview. And one thing I want to mention about that is that you're probably going to miss it. We're talking about an event that takes place Thursday, August 28th out at Corbett's. And it's a special dinner, only 100 seats available. And when we did the interview, there were only 80. But there's celebrating the publishing of a book about country ham, believe it or not, by my friend and a great Louisville author, Steve Coombs. And Steve was a guest on this show. His book is out. I've been talking with him. I know he's worked on it for a long time. And some of the chefs at this event on Thursday night are doing this in part to promote the book. So if you were to, there may be a seat available. You can still call out to Corbett's. It's $100. There were 20 seats left when I talked to Dean on Wednesday afternoon. So, and you get to meet Steve. If you haven't met Steve yet, he's a great guy, colleague of mine. We worked together back at a company in the early 2000s. So I really enjoyed getting to talk to Dean Corbett. You know, it's funny. He's when it comes down to it, no matter what we do, we all have a family, and we all deal with family issues. Dean started late. I'm not actually sure how old he is, but his kids. I know he was having kids when he was like 49 years old. So. And that wears me out thinking about it, because Luke was born when I was like 37, I think. So, and I'm still tired from that. Who could imagine? But anyway, I want to get on into my interview with Dean Corbett. He is one of Louisville's treasures, really, and is the reason that you've probably had a nice meal or two if you've lived here any amount of time. So take a listen here. I went over to Equus and sat down with Dean Corbett. And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm with Dean Corbett today. Dean, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rick. Here we are.
Here we are. Excited. And, you know, for those who don't know the name Dean Corbett, like most of I guess anybody that knows anything about restaurants and foods around this town knows you, but tell me about your businesses in Louisville.
Well, of course, I opened Equus and Jack's here, actually Equus, in 1985, and I was with my dad. And mm-hmm. my mom had just passed away, and my father and I opened this. We bought a small percentage of it and then proceeded to buy the rest of it out in 3 or 4 years. And my dad passed away in 99. He was my business partner, and I named Jack's Lounge after him. So in 2000, okay. I opened Jack's. So it'll be 15 years old June 1st of next year. And then and it's been great. The worst part about it is my father wasn't here to see it happen, yeah. but he would have loved it.
Certainly.
And then, of course, in 2007, we took another step forward and opened Corbett's, an American Place, which was kind of the dream restaurant. I always said if I ever had a lot of time and I found the perfect location, yeah. I'd build a temple to fine dining. And
I've been there. It's really great.
It was a lot of fun. And then most recently, of course, was the acquisition of the former brewery at 426 Baxter Avenue, which we're in the process of converting to Ward 426, named after my partner, Sean Ward, the longtime chef at Jack Fry's for 18 years. So we just started construction on that today.
Wow. Now, you were telling me today, I want to get into some more details about that, but you're just going crazy right now because of that show. And let's talk right now first a little bit about this event on Thursday night,
right,
which is with my friend and your friend Steve Coombs has written a book about hams.
Absolutely. You know, and the thing about Steve is when I look back in 1982 to 1984, many of these chefs that are featured Thursday evening, we were all cooking on the same line at 6th Avenue downtown, which was a kind of an American regional. It was Louisville's first true American cuisine restaurant at 6th and Main. The head chef was a guy named Mark Stevens, who currently owns Stevens and Stevens Deli, and he was our boss. And Richard Lewis was on the line, who is one of the chefs featured Thursday, now works for Morrison's. Steve worked the sauté station. I think I might have been on either sauté or fry. And we were all on that. So, long story short, we were all there working together, which is neat. And this is our first opportunity to come back, believe it or not, in all these years. We've cooked in various spots, but never all together in the same spot.
Yeah.
And we're also so proud of Steve, and we admire him tremendously. He's a great friend, but his writing ability is wonderful. And for him to complete this book, we've all been a part of watching him really work hard on this book, and to see it done, it's outstanding. And to be able to salute him with recipes and ideas, and the whole thing is all centered around country ham. So he's got the Broadbent ham people are here. The Herradura tequila people are here. We're doing some tequila pairings with all the different food, and everybody's doing an appetizer and a course. So it's at Corbett's on Thursday.
So on Thursday, and if anybody happens to be listening, there may or may not be tickets.
We have 100 seats, and we're at 80 right now. So hopefully on Thursday morning, there'll still be a few left. It's $95, but that does include a signed copy of his book, which I think his book's selling for $25. Otherwise. And I mean, it's just, we're all super excited about being together in the same spot. In fact, a couple of them came out to look at the kitchen and just look around and see the equipment we had. And with the exception of Weta Michael, the chef from Holly Hill Inn, and Sean Ward, my partner at Ward 426. I mean, everyone else had cooked together many, many years ago, so we have a long history.
And you're really plugged into to the fact, I know I've talked to Steve about this, but there is part of the reason, I guess, Louisville's known as such a foodie town is really the chefs that come out of here, right?
Yeah. I'm plugged in. Yeah. Now they call me Dean Corleone. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, I'm like the town pimp. It seems like when everybody needs to move somewhere, they call me, and I consider myself pretty good at placing chefs in good spots.
Okay.
They may be coming out of a position that they're not particularly thrilled with. I can usually source out a good spot for them and get them a better job out of the deal. So Steve and I joke about it, but I've done it probably, a dozen a year, chefs I'm placing at various. It's almost the point where I could charge for it, but we laugh about it.
Well, that brings me to another subject I wanted to ask you about.
I'm an old guy.
But really, the whole celebrity chef and chefs being well known is sort of a recent phenomenon in America. And I know you've done some TV work. And the phone always rings while we're doing
this. I'm sorry. Part of the thing, I was fortunate enough to do Secrets of Louisville Chefs Live for 5 years, hosting that. And that was, and then we've done a lot of things for the Travel Channel and Bravo and some things like that, different. But I mean, I love the TV aspect of it and the entertaining aspect of it. But we certainly have the PR. Jamie Estes is who I used for public relations at the time. Certainly have her to thank for a lot of that as far as getting Louisville chefs into the limelight. And a lot of it had to do with cooking at the Beard House in New York. And, Kathy Carey was the first one to go, and then Anoush went, and then I went. And now, of course, I've been 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
But, back in the day, it was very difficult to get to the Beard House. You had to be invited. There was an old woman up there who was just hateful named Mildred Amico. And if you didn't kiss up to Mildred, you had no chance of getting into the Beard House. And now,
so you
now if you have enough money, anybody can cook there, basically, in a nutshell.
Well, let's talk for a minute about the thing going on at the brewery. I know a lot of people that I know remember going down there, and
we should own it, all of us.
I know. I think everybody in town's on it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
There's the thing next door and the volleyball across the street, right? And tell me about that project. And
all right, what we're doing is converting it from the long history of the brewery, and all of us have all spent tons of money in there and had great times. But our emphasis and our expertise is on fine dining. Certainly that's what people look at me for. That's what they look at Chef Sean Ward for. And Nirmish Agrawal, one of my managers from Corbett's, is the third partner. And everyone looks at us. And the problem is, when you walk in there now, there's a balance differential in that people walk in and they say, well, it's a nice enough place, but, you know, and the food's fantastic, but it just doesn't look like what the food is. So what we're doing at Bittner's is coming in and converting the whole interior, what they're going to do, fabulous job, and then we're building a new kitchen, and we'll be somewhere between Equus and Jack's and Corbett's, probably directly targeting the Jack Fry's market strictly because Sean was there for 18 years. So the check average will probably be in the $50 range instead of 15 where we are right now. We don't want to be the tater tot capital of Louisville, which is what we are right now.
Well, but those tater tots are good.
They're damn good, but it's but it doesn't pay the bills. Tater tots don't pay the bills. And I mean, it's super exciting because for Sean and I have been friends for many, many years, and he certainly put his time in. And I did this, people are going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but I did it in a large way, not only for Sean, but for Nirm, because both of them are longtime friends, and they both busted their ass, and it's like, I wanted to do something to help them, and I was in a position to put this deal together and get a great lease. We have wonderful landlords, and I think the place is going to be amazing when we transform it. It's going to be beautiful. The food speaks for itself. Sean's one of the best chefs in the city.
Well, it's quite. It's fine dining.
Location's great.
Location. It's a far cry from, I guess, what people expect.
Absolutely.
Out of that building.
Yeah, absolutely. And the parking's great. I mean, we investigated everything pretty significantly. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to see it. I know that
by second week in October, we will be open as Ward 426 and rocking.
Second week of October.
We're open now, completely open, and we're not closing. But it's what we're doing is a lot of the construction exterior and things like that, and then we're going to have to close for about a week at the end of September. And we should be able to put it together, in about a week. So.
Okay. Wow. Well, that sounds very exciting. We got a few minutes left here. I just wanted to ask you maybe about some of the, it strikes me you're involved in these in Corbett's out there in the East End, Jackson Equus here, and this new place. How do you decide how to spend your time?
Well, I have a wonderful wife, Julie, at home, and three kids, who are Jack, Max, and Drew, who are 9, 6, and 3. So any free time I have, I'm 52. So, yeah, pray for me. Any free time I
I've
have.
I've been there. I know what that's
any
like.
Any free time I have is spent with them. But as far as projects like this, things come along that are just too good to pass up. This was one of those deals. I own the buildings where the businesses are, so for a chef, that's the closest thing you're going to get to an annuity unless you're a corporate chef. So for me, the real estate is going to be my retirement at the buildings.
There you go.
And because chefs, just generally, there aren't a whole lot of retirement packages for chefs.
Right. I mean, it seems like what I know about it. I'm talking to other people, and Steve, it's long hours and
brutal.
Really,
I've had 14 surgeries, 5 backs, fusions, everything imaginable because I wore bad shoes. On concrete floors for years and years because we didn't know any better. Back in the 80s, we're wearing topsiders and tennis shoes, and, we didn't have clogs with orthotics and things. So, I'm paying for it physically, as a lot of older chefs are. But, I've been really blessed to hire really well, and because I'm not a culinary school graduate. I went to business school. I did not graduate from business school because when I opened up Equus, I had 129 hours. My mom had just died, and there was no way to go back to school and be open for lunch and dinner at a restaurant with your dad's money. I mean, it's just like, the guilt factor alone would keep me from finishing anything. So, but, I've really been lucky in that I've hired some really wonderfully trained chefs, and I've taught them. I'm very good at the math part and the financials and running a restaurant. And they've brought a lot, and I love to cook. I mean, for me, it's sauce. Everybody says, "What's your specialty?" It's soups, sauces, seafood dishes, flavors. For me, it's all about flavors and seasonally correct, appropriate flavors. I want a guest to leave every restaurant that I'm involved with and say, "That's the best damn sauce I've ever had. That's the best soup I've ever had. That's the best fish dish I've ever had of that particular dish. Best veal sweetbreads in town, whatever." But luckily I've hired some tremendously talented young people who've come in and shared the new things that are happening with me I, in turn, can turn around and show them how to run a restaurant and how to do the numbers part of it. Because let's face it, I mean, you can be the most talented guy in the world, but if you can't make your food cost and you can't add, you're done.
That's right. So, it's still a business when it comes down to it.
Yeah, and we always have a learning environment. All the restaurants are teaching kitchens. Sean certainly is down there. We are at Corbett's here, Equus. You know, it's really a good deal. Yeah. We've got about 135, 140 employees between the three.
Wow.
So the human resource effect is, I mean, that's a full-time job.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it really is. When you keep, now, are there any more projects on the horizon?
Yeah, there's always going to be a project on the horizon. I worked on the side for Mattingly Foods in town here, which represents Inland Seafood and Creekstone Farms Meats, mm-hmm. which are both two tremendous brands, which I love that. And I'm doing some little TV work. I'm doing a little sponsorships here and there. And, you know, anything you can pick up, you know.
Yeah.
As Steve calls me, you media whore. I said, yes, I am. Thank you very much.
You know, that's, that's
fun. It is fun. And it breaks it up.
Yeah.
It breaks it up from the monotony of just being so terribly difficult the hours.
You don't come in and do the same thing every
day. Well, I mean, here's the thing. People walk in and they go, oh, they'd be like, Rick, I want to open up a restaurant. I've always wanted to do it. And the guy's an attorney or a physician. I'm like, do you enjoy your vacations? Yes. Do you enjoy your family time? Well, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Thank you so much. I'm like, well, do you want to give up all that? Open a restaurant. Do you want to lose $100,000 or $200,000 really quick if you don't know what you're doing, or a million even? I mean, you've got to know what you're doing. You can't go in underfunded. You've got to have some kind of expertise.
Sure.
It's not something for the faint of heart. It's not an easy business, certainly.
Well, it's good that we have you here in town, Dean.
I'm trying. I'm trying to keep everybody together. I mean, my thing is, I'm one, and I mean, this sounds stupid, but I think truly that the town is representative of its chefs in a lot of ways, and keeping people, you know, let's take care of each other. I mean,
sure.
Let's watch each other's backs. Let's help each other, whether it's purchasing or cooking together. And I'm extremely involved in a lot of charity events. I mean, to the point of absurdity, I've almost charitied myself out of business.
I mean, we raised
$2.5 million last year, just my restaurant.
Wow.
You know.
That's something.
I mean, two places. I mean, so that's how heavy it is right now. But I've also been at it 37 years now. So
there you go. Well, we're out of time, Dean, but thank you
very much
for being on the Rusty Satellite Show. It's been a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
I might go downstairs and eat something now.
Absolutely.
I'm all hungry.
Drink. See you Thursday.
And a big thank you to Chef Dean Corbett for sitting down for a few minutes with me. What a great guy. As well as Dr. Gary Ransdell of Western Kentucky University. His school is starting down there at Western. And I really appreciate Dr. Ransdell spending a few minutes with me over at Trinity High School. It's quite an interesting show this week, I think. I'm really proud of it. And, you know, I'm really happy. It is my birthday, so be nice to me. You know, if you could do one thing for me is give me some feedback on the show. If there's something you like or a guest you'd like to hear me interview or talk with, or anything you'd like me to address in the show, I'd love to talk to you. I'm always looking for new sponsors. I really appreciate my sponsors, Passport Health Plan and Bob's Kohler. And I will tell you, on Thursday, my series of health columns in Insider Louisville will continue, and there should be a column on InsiderLouisville.com today, the 28th, that focuses on basically last week's interview with Dr. Craig Blakely of the University of Louisville. So be sure and take a look at that. And, you know, just I hope you pay attention to all this media stuff I'm doing. I hope you'll take a chance to read my story about retiring from racquetball. It's a sad occasion, but I will see you on the golf course. It's all good. Everybody's... you know, I'm at peace with the retirement and all that. So anyway, this is the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I hope you will make it a regular habit every Thursday to listen to this podcast on Louisville.am Network. It's available on Stitcher Radio and the iTunes Network. And I have my own website, it's called RustySatelliteShow.com. And you can also check out things on LouisvilleKY.com. Until the next time, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.